Avatar is back. This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Toph Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on! Shuffle on, I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongLuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by several co-hosts, Alisa.
Yo.
Jake.
Hello.
Ruth.
Salute.
Shay.
Hello.
Melanie.
Hello.
And Abby.
Why am I last?
Because
I knew she was going to say that.
I don't know. You're not last in alphabetical order. That's weird. Okay. Send questions to us podcast at donglufang.net. Send us Avatar questions to the mailbag segment. And subscribe to the podcast at the podcast page, which is donglufang.net/podcast or iTunes. And today's podcast, we will be discussing first, well, the news and views first, go on to the 316 title discussion, which you'll hear in the news. We'll move on to our Season 2 beginning discussion on episodes 201 to 206, and I think that's going to be one of our better segments ever. We got a lot of strong opinions on some episodes there. And we'll move on to the mailbag, and we'll close things out. So let's move on to our Avatar and DongLuFang news and views. Okay, and your DongLuFang news for this week. DongLuFang's winter event, the most wonderful time of the year, is here. Still best name ever. We'll be announcing the 313 to 317 titles all throughout the winter. Currently, the 316 title has just been revealed. It is called The Southern Raiders. Discussing in a minute.
Yes.
So yeah, Jake, want to talk about the Olympics status update?
The Olympics started this evening. Their first contest is a team logo contest. All the details are at avatarolympics.net, and if you're on one of the teams, you can try to get together with your other teammates and figure out a plan for that, basically, and the final things are due on Sunday at noon.
And if
Eastern,
the page doesn't redirect, avatarolympics.net/index.
Yes.
So. Hopefully we can get the... There's still some quirks with chat and stuff, but... I think it's actually going pretty well. Better than the first new site creation that we've had.
Yeah, there were 10 people in there and it broke.
Yeah, oh well. Okay, and yeah, it's our news. Book 3, Volume 3, details have been released. It will be released on May 6th, 2008, the box art. You can check that out at dongufang.net/site1. It's some good, pretty awesome box art. Not much revealed about that, though. And... nothing else new except really the release date. So, once again, we play, when will it come out in the US? So, the May 6th means that every episode up to 315 must air by Friday, May 2nd. Which, I don't know, that's not really good news because we expected them to air a little earlier than that. Also, I need to retract a statement from last week. I said I was pretty sure it'd be May 16th. Yeah, no. Because... May 16th is the last possible week for the finale to be in sweeps, May sweeps, which is the ratings period in which Nielsen actually, like, the networks are, it's when it counts, really, the ratings. But I've looked
at... They could still do 312 during the February sweeps, which is 31st of January to... what is it, February 27th,
yeah,
but I doubt it.
From those don't matter.
No.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone care about those ever, which is
Deary.
So the past two finales, Season 1 and Season 2, have not been in sweeps. I thought they were, but they were not, so don't expect...
Dylan was wrong?
Yes, and there's another thing.
Mark this day down.
You said that last week.
Calendars, look at the calendars.
So, mark this day down again.
Yeah, Dylan, you have like 10 calendars, Mark it on one of them.
I know.
I see 4 visible calendars in my room right now. Okay, anyway, so... yeah, it's could air later than May 16th. So right now, here's my thinking. It starts in the U.S. early or mid-April. It finishes on May 2nd, exact 3:15 airs on May 2nd, and then we go down and whatever that brings us to, maybe the first week in June for the finale. So I'm not expecting good now.
Well, right now, if you've got 3:15 on May 2nd, then skipping a week after 3:17, the finale could still be May 30th.
Okay, yeah, so late, yeah, last possible that week right. in May or the first week in June.
One of the other things is that with the we were able to speculate on the September 21st premiere of season 3 because of the DVD release on October 30th. So they actually had a whole week and a half before between when 305 aired and when the DVD came out. So that if we look at that, might think April 25th for 315. But, yeah. You know, who knows?
I think that makes a little more sense, actually. But I'm just expecting the worst, so who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, you never know. NYTV 303 aired tonight. So they're still on their little schedule to air March 28th. But I still doubt it because I think Nick stepped in. I really hope so. So, yeah, basically, this is my fear, is and it may come true, is that we could not get another, may not get another episode until April. And that sucks, because I have nothing planned for March for the podcast, which really, I just need some ideas there. So, oh yeah, for the future, I've got some, we got some amazing podcasts ready for February, probably the best ever, and then nothing March. And then April, where podcasts are going to come out on Sundays, because I have baseball and I cannot record Friday nights anymore. So Saturday nights are going to be our new recording time in April. So if there are new episodes, that's like the only reason to record Friday nights, is to get new episode discussion out right after it airs. So that's pretty much useless now. So that's not good news. I wanted it to finish a little earlier. Okay, any comments on the dates?
No.
Okay, let's move on to our 316 episode title discussion. So yeah, as announced earlier, episode 316 is entitled The Southern Raiders. So I just want people's initial reactions to the title right now.
Last villain.
Wow.
Last villain. See, here was my initial reaction to the title. A month ago, it was, you know, the first thing I thought of was the South Pole invading the Fire Nation for some reason. I don't know. And this seemed like a weird title to me. And secondly, I thought of Omashu, even though Omashu's not really in the South, but.
Actually, yeah, I thought of it.
Yeah, it kind of is, actually, isn't it?
I don't think it's technically in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, it's in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay, yeah, I thought of Omashu.
It's on the map on nick.com. You can look at it.
Yeah, it's actually really close to Toph's village and the village of Chind and all that stuff. It's down in the south part of the Earth Kingdom.
I actually didn't think of the villain until a little later. And me and Jake were just baffled for a little bit. For some reason,
that made me think the desert. I guess. That's not it, but that's just...
I had so much trouble guessing this title, because I have to guess every title from Jake, which is really annoying, but he makes me do it. So I had so much trouble guessing this one, because I did not think Raiders would be in a title, the word Raiders. I had it on the list.
Serious Raiders of the Lost Ark,
Raiders, like, how that's going to be applied.
The thing is, when I first heard it, I heard, because Katara said that her mother died in a Fire Nation raid. So raid is something that they have been using throughout the season.
See, for me...
Throughout the show.
The past doesn't... flashback episodes don't automatically click in my head. I have to think about it a little more first. But, see, now it makes sense, but...
Iroh leading the resistance.
Yeah, see, that's
it could be something
theory.
Like what Dylan said, Southern people from the Southern Water Tribe raiding the Fire Nation, only possibly freeing the prisoners from the Day of Black Sun.
Right. Yeah, basically, it's either people raiding from the South or people raiding the South.
Most likely it's the second one. But, okay, so let's move on. What still needs to be presented before the finale? Now, there's a billion things, but basically... The things that I can think of that would apply to the title are, there needs to, oh, here's what I was, oh, I have them marked down, and I didn't even see that. We need to visit the Boiling Lake, mentioned in the thing.
Probably Boiling
Lake. It's been confirmed before.
Mentioned in the thing.
In the magazine. Zuko needs to look for his mother. We still need to visit various assorted Comic-Con screenshots, which, let me go over some of those. There's this firebender that everyone's connecting to this title, who is a fire whip in the...
Right, the same whip that we saw in Appa's last days.
So yeah, people are saying he could be one of the ones in raiding the South. So it's just there's the jumping on heads, which people have called Suki, but I don't buy that for a second.
No, I think it's Sokka.
Sokka?
26. What?
See, there's that screenshot, and then the most famous one, Zuko sitting down in Mei next to him, like Zuko captured. So
there's also the angry Azula and the Mei getting ready to throw one of her knives.
Okay, yeah. We can't really infer much from those, though, can we?
No, but we just haven't seen them yet. Yeah,
except that Azula is angry. What else is new?
No, but I mean, like, really angry.
Yeah, she was really angry in that.
We may see Azula in an episode after this, but before the finale, so who knows.
That could have been from the finale, for all we know.
So yeah, and the last thing, and the most important one that applies to this, a villain that has a disturbing connection to Katara and Sokka's past.
Oh, yes.
Right. And no, he's from the distant past with a disturbing connection to Sokka and Katara.
Yeah, so
now, what do they mean by disturbing?
Disturbing.
They wouldn't introduce a new villain in the finale, though, so it would be before the finale.
It would be one of these next few episodes. So,
yep.
Here's what people
are
thinking.
If it's not Boiling Rock, I'd say it
could be the person who kills Katara is Sokka's mom. Which makes sense, but is that really a connection? That's the only problem I have with that.
It's a stretch.
Yeah. Unless, like, he's somehow, like, betrayed her or something. There has to be a story.
Like someone from the Water Tribe, kind of like
what was the name of that guy who betrayed her? Killing her. There needs to be a story with it, so that would kind of make sense. And
what kind of what it could do is it could kind of be like the betrayal with the Air Nomads.
Fico.
Whatever his name
was. That's a card.
Oh yeah, that's in the trading card game.
Oh yeah.
I don't think so.
Ignore that. Just kidding.
Yeah. So.
Still, it could be possible.
Okay, who are the Southern Raiders?
You never know.
See, here are the two possibilities. I think the first one I thought of was the Southern Water Tribe raiding someone, like, because they'd obviously be the natural Southern Raiders. It could also be the Fire Nation raiding the South, and it could be. I don't know. Is anything?
It could actually be someone from maybe the Southern Islands too, because there are a whole lot of islands in the South between the Fire Nation and the South Pole.
Yeah, I think anything in the South is like fair game for this.
Yeah.
It's a big map, so.
Yeah. What about all those soldiers from the Return to Omashu episode? All those Earth Kingdom soldiers that got out of the Omashu.
That's a good.
Yeah, there was also Lee's older brother. They hinted at maybe we might see him from Zuko alone.
Oh yeah. Unless he might be dead.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The two things I think. Who are the Southern Raiders? See, I think there's a high possibility it could be Fire Nation soldiers. It could be the Water Tribe soldiers. I also think it could be a group from Omashu. Yeah, that was like one of my second reactions to this. It's the Omashu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Possible it's the Resistance.
Yeah, I don't know if the Resistance specifically is coming back, but there could be like a totally different one, I guess. Okay, so yeah. Here's the theory most people are thinking of, that this is a flashback episode to the Southern Water Tribe, and it shows the Fire Nation raiding the Southern Water Tribe and the villain killing Katara and Sokka's mom maybe even comes back. But probably not. It's just like a flashback episode.
Yeah, I would say it's they run into whoever it is, and that would inspire the flashbacks, if any.
What if the person who killed them was like someone from the Fire Nation, but someone from the Fire Nation we've seen before?
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Like Zhao or something.
Zhao.
Yes.
Could be Zhao.
Love.
That's kind of
Zhao. Yes.
Katara and Sokka, and it's disturbing. So, so there you go.
Here's my opinion on this. I like the idea of them visiting the raid to the South. Now, I think that 308 kind of closed the book on the Southern Water Tribe past story, because they revisited it, and that's enough for me, because some of the stuff they're not going to even revisit, so a whole nother episode based around the Southern Water Tribe, it's like, why? Because we already had one in Season 3.
Too late for it.
Extra detail when we could be visiting somewhere else, like Omashu, or we could be doing Kyoshi again, but Kyoshi's story is done, too. Mm-hmm. So it's
except for rescuing.
Yeah, Suki is the only
one. Kyoshi is not. Don't connect Kyoshi and Suki right away.
No.
Suki's dead, by the way.
Avatar Kyoshi is done.
No, Kyoshi Island I was referring to, actually. But, yeah, Kyoshi and Avatar Kyoshi. Okay,
so... Oh, you mean we won't get to see Oyaji and Coco again?
Coco, I love
Foamy.
What about Foamy?
Oh, we'll get to Foamy.
Yeah,
play Foamy. 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 Voiced by Brian, which is interesting. We'll get to that.
He doesn't really have any voicing lines, though.
Brian McKittrick. Byron McKittrick is Brian... Ugh, stupid, why'd you hide your voice? He's like the most amazing voice actor I've ever heard, and then he's hiding it. Whatever. That's... Okay, so what's the significance of this episode? Well, this is a huge significant episode. Something's gonna happen here, because 317 might be filler, as me and Jake kind of know this. It's probably gonna be filler. No, I can't say probably, because you never know from that title. That title's just too strange, but...
It's like a 60-40 chance it'll be filler.
I don't know. You never know.
Well, it's a completely unexpected title. Like, I don't think anyone would have... guess that.
Well, you don't know the title.
Oh, wait, no, I thought we were still talking about the other one.
No.
I'm out of it, okay?
So this episode will be significant. Here's my opinion. I think it could be a flashback episode to the Southern Water Tribe, but it would need to be connected to a huge event happening now. Something needs to happen.
I wouldn't see it as a full flashback, not even as many flashbacks as in Zuko alone or the storm, but just small little flashbacks, maybe.
See, but here's the thing. Zuko hasn't looked for Ursa yet.
Right. He certainly could look for her here or in just about any episode.
She could
really.
Be anywhere right
you
now.
Know, I have a little mini theory that could go with 316, 317, but it's kind of hard to present without...
giving us the title.
Yeah.
Well, you will have to give us that on the February 15th podcast.
Yeah, February 15th, exactly. But basically, I can give you it generally. It's Zuko may leave now and not be around for 317, which would kind of
make like the runaway to
317 a lot easier. Jake, if you know what I mean, like Zuko not being there would make that episode title, like the theories we have with it, a little more realistic, wouldn't it?
That's the point, yeah. Good point.
So, it's, yeah, if Zuko... I think Zuko may leave during this episode. I don't know. It's just a little hunch. I have nothing to support it except that I don't think he's going to be around in 317. I still think he needs to be motivated to make the decision of completely backing Aang in the finale. Something needs... I see, like, I threw the example a while ago. Iroh dying needs to meet Ursa. Ursa needs to tell him that. Something, I think, needs to motivate Zuko, because... Really, I don't think he's up to the point where if it'd be realistic to see him full fledged fight on the gang side in the finale.
I agree.
So something we need to know. Yeah. I like the potential for 316, 317 for the Zuko storyline.
You could go after Ursa.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But then, what does the Southern Raiders mean in this episode? A lot could happen here, but
yes.
You know, I gotta go with an Omashu group. I really think this is gonna... maybe it's a bias, but I want Omashu's storyline to return.
Like, yes. Yeah.
Like, with Boomy needs to return, but I just... Omashu, to me, represented, like, the good old times, but...
was some of the Omashu group returning, that would also give us a chance to see a potentially more development for Mei, too, being as her family's in Omashu. So maybe they could be returning back, maybe the people in Omashu managed to take it back, and now they're coming for the Fire Nation, and so she's got to deal with maybe her family being... sent back to the Fire Nation, or possibly in jail, or captured by the Resistance. I don't know.
Well, does Mei really need more development? I think we saw the most of Mei's character this season. Like, Ty Lee, we've seen in one episode.
I would
Mei,
be
we've seen
sad.
In
the
yeah.
That makes me sad. I
very sad, very sad. Like,
although I'm sad for different reason than you, Jake.
I don't... like, Mei, I don't think we need to see any more development on. I think we've had our Mei fill. But Ty Lee... definitely.
Poor Ty Lee.
Yeah.
She's completely neglected.
Ty Lue could have happened.
They need, seriously, Ty Lue needs to resolve her Katara story.
Yes.
Katara being afraid of her. If that just passes, there's something wrong with that. So, I don't know. Okay, go ahead, Ruth.
I think Mei will have something more to fill in the storyline.
Well, because we've got that one screenshot, so yeah.
Yeah, we have that one screenshot, and there's also the potential of Mei switching sides. But I do not see.
Her fully switching sides outright.
See, like,
she might have a connection with Ursa, also. I don't know.
Why? I don't know.
She might have a connection.
So now we're getting to stuff we have absolutely no backup on, and I don't know.
That's why it's called theory, though.
I know, but
yes.
I have my theory.
Or hypothesis. Well,
theory, discussion.
Let's get
discussion.
To the reveal of the writer for 316. Maybe that'll help us with some of this stuff. The right 316, the writer is Elizabeth Welsh Ihas. So
right, so Aaron's wife.
Yes, Aaron's wife. She usually writes important episodes. The last episode she wrote in the season, I think, was 206. 306.
Yes, 306.
Flashback episode.
Oh, she also wrote half of 312. So, yeah, she does a lot of flashback episodes, actually. So, you know, there's some potential there. She did Zuko alone, and she did... Yeah,
that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that was the one thing I thought of to support.
Flashback.
Because, I mean, Aaron usually writes stuff involving the spirits in the spirit world. And so if Elizabeth writes flashback episodes, then,
She also writes temple episodes, and she does stuff with, I think she does a lot of Mei and Ty Lee stuff, because she helped Katie write 305, and that was like the whole Mei and Ty Lee plotline there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also wrote 203, Return to Omasha. That was the introduction of Mei and Ty Lee. So,
and 216 as well. Mei and Ty Lee were in that one.
Yeah, that's true. So I think Mei and Ty Lee are going to be in this episode. No, I don't. I think May's gonna be in 317. I don't know. Ty Lee, I'd want to return. This is all confusing. I have no idea. Once we reveal 317, I can present my pretty big theories here. So yeah, any last comments on the title? That was pretty cool.
Who knows?
Awesome. Okay, so let's move on to... Ooh, this is going to be good. 201 to 206.
No.
Today we'll be continuing our segments, recapping all the episodes shown so far. The purpose of these is to find out the main theme of the episodes, which will help us speculate about the finale later on. Today we'll be discussing the beginning of Season 2, which I have classified as 201 to 206, The Avatar State to the Blind Bandit. So yeah, I love these episodes. This is great. Beginning of Season
2. Except 205.
Ooh, that's going to be a debate. I just want to go over the episodes here. 201. See, I rewatched 201 to 205. 206 is
Why don't we tell them the titles?
My mind. What?
Yeah, titles.
Okay, yeah.
Titles, because
everyone knows what 201 is.
Yeah, people get confused by those numbers.
The Avatar State. In my memory, I don't like the Avatar State, like the episode. But as I rewatched it was actually a really good episode.
It got lost in the
storyline was a little... It had its moments, though, definitely. The Aang's part. And... one of my favorite scenes of the entire show, Aaron proving how evil Azula really is. Or this, I can't say Aaron because this is like a four-writer episode, but Aaron. Because he's like evil. The Azula Tide scene. That's one of my favorite of the
series. Yeah, that was a great introduction.
How evil Azula is. And then her training with Lo and Lee, one hair out of place, that's not good enough. The perfectionist.
Yeah,
she is.
That was great.
Yeah, that was good. How in two scenes, basically,
we got
the
idea
of who Azula is.
Because they needed to introduce her character right away, because we get right into Azula, and it's like I think watching Return to Omashu for the first time, it's like I knew who Azula was actually. Her to be evil and stuff like that.
Because like it was really good. Just those two scenes and. You knew exactly who she was, what she would do.
Maybe my favorite line, one of my favorite lines of the series, Zuko's like, "You lied to me," and she's like, "I've never done that before."
Which is perfect, or almost isn't good enough.
Yeah, lying is Azula's thing.
Yeah, Azula always lies.
I think what is that called? Yes. Someone who's like a
I am a 400-foot tall purple platypus bear with pink horns and silver wings.
Oh, that is the best line ever.
Yeah, so you see Avatar State, what else do I have to say?
It also introduced that how the people you expect you're able to trust, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
That's one of the
never trusted this
season.
But I get what you're saying.
And then his Iroh in this episode is very good, too, I think. His skeptical looks, even though going along with Zuko and everything. Am I missing anything?
The loss of the ponytail.
Oh yeah, they cut their hair. Yeah.
He could have used that as a mustache.
Yeah, Voodoo Freak actually drew a comic of that.
I was gonna say, didn't I see that in a comic somewhere? Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Voodoo Freak on DeviantArt.
Okay, now let's move on to 202, Cave of Two Lovers. My favorite episode of the entire series.
Of course.
Now, if Jake would let me talk. Jake, let me talk about this, because I need to explain why this is my favorite episode. And then Jake can try to refute some of my points. But let's... Okay. Everything about this episode I absolutely loved. Like, every storyline and every single thing that happens in it. First, the beginning training scene. You know, it's great Cat Aang there, and then Sokka humor. And the hippies come. And it's the hippies, Chang, voiced by great D. Bradley Baker. Their characters, each one of them, Chang, Lily, and Moku. Great... Moku.
Wasn't he voiced by Dante Bosco's brother?
Yeah, they said that in the commentary.
Yeah, if you look in that, it's there. See, it's... The hippies, or the Chong, is one of the greatest minor characters, I think, of the show. Which
great homage to Tommy Chong.
Yeah, it's great. And then the whole storyline with the cave and getting in.
Well,
and it's just the way Josh Hamilton... Anyway, the way Josh Hamilton progresses the beginning of the story, I think it's amazingly hilarious. Like, they need to figure out a way to make them go on ground in the cave, so they have a random flashback scene with Appa. They need to figure out a way to
best scene ever.
Get them into the cave and seal them off. They just present the random Fire Nation guys coming. So, progresses the episode along.
Wait, didn't you hear the song?
Yeah, that was
amazing.
That same guy who had the eye patch, he was in Jet. He had the eye patch.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They bring back the random Fire Nation soldiers. See, and then once we get into the cave, the first, all of Chang's songs are amazing. We'll get into Songfest in a minute, but... And the storyline with... Sokka and getting frustrated by Chang, and then all of them trying to progress through the cave is great. And of course, the Katara and Aang separating is the greatest scenes of the series there for me. It's the great Cat Aang scenes. And this doesn't even progress their relationship. That's the amazing thing. This is like an outlier. And I'll get more into this in our 5-hour Cat Aang discussion.
Oh my god.
In May, but. Or June now, depending on
my allowed to be on that podcast?
It depends on how Cat Aang-y you are. I'm going to like. Have I'm gonna get like the best Cat Aang fanfiction writers I know on, and the fan artists, and I'm gonna have, like,
ooh, get the person who wrote that Destiny's Call.
Yeah, Leslie. I'll see if she'll come on. She's amazing. But so yeah, the thing is, I'm gonna make this point quickly. It doesn't progress the relationship because it's like, whether they kiss or not, the important thing is that they're about to kiss. So it's just like, it's an outlier in that they don't return to that, like, kissing anymore. And, you know, I think that's very realistic with a real relationship. There's usually, like, one thing out of place that, you know, you don't really, like, look into. But it's... This didn't necessarily progress the relationship romantically anymore. I think it was just, like, a nice little thing there. Oh, so,
except
yeah.
That,
and...
except that Katara kind of suggested it, and... She was really disappointed.
This is like,
suggestively.
That's kind of evidence for people who didn't think she... Well, we'll get in. Oh, I don't want to get into the...
Okay, never mind.
I could rant for like 2 hours.
Shipping special number 3.
Yes, during podcast 20. Okay, so yeah. And then the whole thing of them... They're almost kissed and stuff like that. And they're almost... Yeah, let's just take it one step. There's so many side stories in this, and...
Wait, didn't we decide it's impossible that they didn't kiss, like, 3
actually,
months ago?
Did
you contradict yourself on that again?
See, at first I thought they did kiss, and then now, lately, as I'd finally figured out that the reason people thought they didn't kiss is because the lights came back on because the torch went out. I did not understand that concept.
Yeah, we... No, I meant, like...
Then I thought they didn't kiss, and now rewatching it... The timing, I think they did.
Yeah, you said the timing because of like it's like 2 seconds for the lights to come on
or something.
Back and forth,
back and forth. So I don't know.
You gonna change your mind on that again?
I probably will.
John Kerry.
more like Mitt Romney. Oh
no, shut up! Not like John McCain.
Pretty boy, Mitt Romney.
Oh.
What?
Okay, so... I was gonna say something. Yeah, so, and then the kiss, and then one of my favorite scene is, it's after the kiss, which is my favorite scene of Cave of Two Lovers, is that after they hug, and then Katara runs off, and Aang's like, Katara, and then he shakes his head. It's like, such a real reaction. I know I've said that 10 times on this podcast, so it's such a real reaction from there. It's like, aren't we gonna discuss what almost or did happen? And then she's like, no, we made progress anyway. So yeah, and then this whole little story of the two lovers was just incredible.
I love the animation.
Oh my, the animation was amazing, and the whole story was great. And history of earthbending presented related to the actual story at hand is just incredible.
Not enough action.
Not enough action.
Sort of action-y.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a surprisingly lacking bending in that episode.
Yeah.
Like, any bending. It's like just in the beginning during the training scene.
Seems
and then.
I like the Badger Moles bending, actually.
And the Badger Moles, and that's about it.
Aang did use his bending to move
and the air.
Everyone.
And that's about it.
And he hugged he
used airbending for that, Dylan.
No,
huge ferocious beast.
Get away from me.
Our way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a way.
Sokka, why is your head all red?
Okay. Another part of the storyline. See, I liked all of the Aang side, and then Zuko's side I was in love with in this episode. I mean, first Iroh. How funny can you get in the beginning of the scene? Mako. This Mako in the beginning of Cave of Two Lovers is the most brilliant performance I've ever seen. The way... two things. First, he says white, which I always love.
White.
And
yeah,
then,
that's from his Japanese accent.
Yeah, I love that. I love people say it like that. And then also, the way he says Azula. Oh. And then the whole Azula gag was hilarious. But if the Fire Nation catches us, we'll be turned over to Azula. That was I just love quoting Mona. It's hilarious, this episode's voice. And Song is an amazing character.
I wish she would have come back. I liked
really
her.
Really cute, actually, but she's also...
I will admit, I was all for Zuko Song.
Yeah, Zuko Song was...
That was for... At one point, I was...
It's the realization that went into like Zuko seeing how the war affected people and stuff.
Fire Nation hurt you.
So the Anji is kind of like the Song of season 3, eh?
Anji's like, there's different types of characters. They're both in 302.
Yeah.
You do that really well.
Say about.
Okay, so yeah, say the Song and Song's mother was great, and then. This
I've
whole
never
scene
seen
with
someone...
Zuko progressing in this episode, seeing what's there, but still going back to his old self, showed his status in the story. Like, it showed it so clearly what he was thinking and stuff at 202. And Iroh, of course. I've never seen anyone eat my cooking with such gusto. Much practice. Great line there, too. It's that whole thing.
Certainly very quotable.
Yeah, very quotable. I'd expect this to be a John O'Brien episode. This was a Josh Hamilton episode. That's why it amazes me
it
so much.
It was a Josh Hamilton episode.
Josh Hamilton. His first episode he ever wrote, and it was...
It wasn't John O'Brien episode because it was good.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I thought you did like it.
Yeah, Jake, you like 202. You just don't think it's amazing. But, okay, then the director, of course, the amazing Lauren McMullen. She can't get any better than her. And she's...
Except for Joaquin Dos Santos.
No, Lauren is incredible.
I like Joaquin.
And so, yeah, the way she directs the whole story, the Cave of Two Lovers, incredible. I don't know if she storyboarded that herself, but whoever did gets, like, amazing award.
I think they said in the commentary she did those.
She did those?
No, I said who? That they said who did it, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, well, they didn't have commentary for 202, I don't think.
Didn't they?
Not on the box set. But, I don't know. I don't have the
well, maybe you should try them individually, Dylan.
Don't they take all the whatever?
Did
that's
they?
Not
I don't
actually, they're probably more expensive individually. Never mind.
So just like everything from this episode, I'm in love with, and it's such an incredible. All the characters, I love their just everything. So really, that's why it's my favorite episode. I don't need the action. This is all I need: an episode, the plot, and the character development.
Yeah.
So.
sure.
So yeah, still my greatest episode of all time. I don't think it's going to get beat by the finale. Unless 319 is the only episode I can see being incredible.
Oh my god. You're so obsessed with shipping. Oh my god.
320 is going to be action-y, but you know, 321... Everyone's going to be disappointed by 321. It's like,
no, they are not. You're going to be disappointed by it.
Because we're going to be the only one. That's why. We're going to over-speculate 10,000 times. But that's good. Okay, let's move on to Return to Omashu.
Yeah.
I love that episode.
Yeah, this was also an Elizabeth episode.
I like the whole interaction with Tom and Momo.
Yeah, that was actually longest moment ever. And then it affects the storyline, is that... Yeah,
at first you think it's just little, oh my god, when's it going to end? But
then they did the whole sliding scene.
Yeah.
Right. Tom.
I gotta say, the whole plague thing, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was laughing the first time I saw it.
That was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, see, the only flaw I see in this episode is getting Ty Lee to join Azula. I mean,
that confused me a little bit.
Yeah,
about...
exactly. The overall point was fine, but how she joined them because they set the net on fire and they let the animals, that was a little unclear.
Yeah.
I think what she was doing is Azula was threatening her almost.
No, she was changing with the way Ty Lee thought. It's like,
see, this
Ty
is
Lee
why
goes,
this confuses
Ty, yeah,
me.
Yeah, Ty Lee goes on signs, like, all around her, like the auras and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like when things aren't looking up and like animals break out.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was what they're trying to get on, but it wasn't presented clearly enough.
It felt more like Azula was threatening, if you don't join me, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
because she's...
Yeah.
And then May, after Azula
and
goes to
the thing that brought
Ty Lee.
That on, too, was when she said, I'm coming to your show, and Ty Lee, you know, kind of...
Yeah. Well, she knew Azula could do something. She was just nervous that Azula would see her perform. And then, of course, she goes to the whole thing with Azula, with Ty Lee, and then May's like, finally, so let's suddenly get out of this place.
Yeah.
That's good.
Please tell me you're here to kill me.
Yeah.
Love that.
Great man.
Yeah.
So. And Ty Lee, of course, is introduced upside down. So it's interesting.
Well, again, that one scene tells you kind of her personality.
Yeah, but
she's upside down.
See, it doesn't effectively enough. That was what I said. They needed.
Yeah, but it gets the general point across for the duration of the episode.
Yeah, and then the whole Omashu thing in there. It's effective, and you know. And at the end, the whole waiting and listening, I think that was communicated very well, actually.
Yeah, it was very good foreshadowing.
Yeah, it wasn't overdone.
I don't think it was foreshadowing, even. I think that was just, like, it was more of advice. It was, like, they need to wait. Aang needs to find... See, I'm trying to think what came first. The wait and listen or Toph. I think the obvious answer is Toph, but Toph didn't come for a while. Because the original Toph was different. I have no idea. Whatever, it's not important.
Yeah.
So it's had to change either aspect for either one, like change Toph a little bit for that,
yeah,
or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, it's something that personifies earthbending to me, I think,
yes,
is the idea of just waiting and listening. Because earthbending isn't fast like firebending or airbending. You know, it's not necessarily fluid like waterbending. It's really grounded, and it's paying attention to the environment, and that's really what wait and listen is all about.
Yeah. So it communicated earthbending very well. So, yeah. It's I think, 203, great episode, not amazing. It's still a great episode. Ethan Spalding, Mr. Spalding, great direction.
Oh my god. He's still
doing that. Then The Swamp. The
Joe's
Swamp
not here
an
anymore.
Episode I haven't watched it.
Underrated.
Joe is not kicked off, by the way. See, The Swamp I haven't watched in a while. I didn't until, like, recently. It's... And in the, what? One of the commentaries they regarded Tim's work in 116, 214, 217, and 204 as series classics. And I was like, 204, does that really belong in the list? And I watched it again, and it still doesn't belong in the list, but it kind of gets up there a little more. See... I don't think it's important enough to be on a serious classic list. This is
I think the self-exploration could have gone a little bit further and less gags with the whole inbred swamp bender.
No, I like the swamp benders. That was showing that water benders in other places.
But I don't think they needed to spend as much time on it to get it clear across.
I think they didn't need to spend as much time as the actual swamp.
I thought
and, like,
kind of the swamp hick type thing was a little overdone, was the problem.
I liked it. I just... and Iroh's side, that was what I wanted to get into. The It's a long, long they have a beginning Iroh Uzuko scene, they have an end Iroh Uzuko scene. This is very interestingly directed by Giancarlo.
Is there an end Iroh Uzuko scene? I think it's just end Zuko.
Zuko, yeah, Zuko comes blue
spirit. Yeah, Zuko getting his mask.
And it's well, getting the whole middle of the episode is devoted to Aang, but the beginning, very beginning and the very end are Zuko Iroh, so.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think we've seen another episode that's directed like that.
No.
See, so yeah, the swamp, it's a good episode, but it's...
It is. Know, it's a little slow. It's not filler.
It's a little slow. It's not filler. It's very important to show the connection.
They chose Paul for the first time.
Next episode, yeah. But...
Oh, we'll get into that, but...
It was the first time that we saw Sokka's guilt over Yue, because they cut out the scene in 201, where he was staying up and fell asleep under the moonlight. So I thought that was important for Sokka, because it was actually showing that, yeah, he still cares about Yue.
See, I don't consider those scenes important. I totally ship that. It's not important. See, the important to me in this episode was showing the connection that one organism in the whole world, everyone, it's starting to show that thing of unity and separation that not everyone, it's 204 is hit on again in 219. That's the whole thing there. And then Aang, and it's, yeah, 204 is pretty much a pre-219 episode, because you see where Yu figures out where Aang is through Appa.
Yu is the precursor to Patik.
Yeah, it's very interesting there. Q is an interesting character. And
Pants are an illusion.
What was the original?
His name, or, yeah, Pants
time
are
is an illusion, so is death. That was the
original line.
Right, and he says, pants are an illusion, and so is death.
Okay, so it's everyone's favorite episode, the Avatar Day.
No.
This is regarded as one of the worst episodes of the series, and
rightfully so.
Rightfully so? No, I love this episode. I watch
it. Why? You're crazy.
And I like it.
Sherlock Sokka? Come on.
Okay, here's the points I'm going to make. Here's why this episode was made.
Sherlock
Sokka, you cannot get better than Sherlock Sokka.
No.
It's the most hilarious gag that's
ever happened.
It was
the most out of character thing ever.
How is that out of character? That's totally Sokka's character.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's.
I wouldn't say it's out of character. What I thought it was more out of universe.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was OU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't necessarily say it was.
That's something he would do. It was just a little.
Okay, so here's why the episode is important. The main thing in this, we see Avatar Kyoshi like moving for the first. She's like talking. That's big. We see, and she's like manly voice, and it's awesome.
Yoshi is still my favorite avatar right now. So
yeah, she's great, and just the whole little mini story on Shin and Kyoshi and how that was formed, and how that's completely ignored by everyone in the town. It's great.
Well, one of the things I really liked about it was when they returned back to Kyoshi Island. The first Foamy
voiced by Brian in this episode, and. They spent like 30 seconds on Foamy. It was hilarious.
And, well, because it was great, because we got to see first his initial reaction that we all expected, and then his sheep is covering over his head and running away.
Because Aang's not really there. And then Coco turns off.
Coco's reaction, where's Aang? I thought was great. And then the one scene that I really liked was when Sokka, when they walk by the dojo, and Sokka asked Oyaji, where is Suki?
You're obsessed with Sokka and Suki and Sokka and Yue.
I know.
But yeah, that was a great scene. Like,
Yusuka, that's my ship, alright?
Suka, Yusuka. See, I'm not attached to Sokka ships, that's why I can make fun of
the only one.
But...
Sokka ship.
Well, that's why I
can
make fun of Katara ships, so.
Yeah, it's
Katara ships.
To me, the whole Katara trying to steal Sherlock Sokka's thunder, I liked the gag. I mean, that's one thing where me and Jake highly differ on this episode, but I don't know, I liked that gag. Yeah, and the Water Tribe money, I liked that gag. How was I supposed to know they wouldn't take Water Tribe?
I like the Wheel of Death or whatever when they were spinning the wheel. That was my favorite part.
See, this it's quotable. That's another something about this.
Please land on community service.
One scene that's overlooked a lot is the prisoners and Aang scene. And then
I love those two.
Oh my god, that is terrible.
It was amazing. I love
it. No, it wasn't.
It cracks me up so much in that episode. Aang talking about Katara prisoners and then voicing their opinions. It was... That got me a lot. And
I love Snake and Scar. I think they need more love.
Snake and Scar?
That's what I named them, because one of the guys had the scar over his eye, and then the other guy had the snake tattoo.
Okay. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah. What else did I like about this? I just watched this, like, today, so I should probably have more to say.
Boomerang, you do always come back.
And the Rough Rhinos, yeah, that was it. They introduced the Rough Rhinos to the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole thing there.
Yeah.
This is the worst time.
Sherlock Saka killed that episode. So
I love Sherlock Saka. See, to me, this
it had its good parts.
I actually like Sherlock.
Admit this episode isn't filler, Jake, because what I've just went over, how is it filler with all those things?
Well, that stuff really doesn't come
back. It's filler!
It doesn't come back, but it concludes a lot. Like, without this episode, if they don't go back to Kyoshi Island again, I would not be satisfied. Like, it concludes the whole Kyoshi storyline thing. It concludes Avatar Kyoshi. It starts the Rough Rhinos, which is an interesting plotline, which they haven't completely hit on yet.
Okay. So, it's not filler, but it's still not a good episode.
I liked it. I liked it. And it's a Lauren episode.
It's still down in the ranks of Avatar episodes.
No, I'd say it's a middle.
309 beats it for worst episode by a long shot, though.
See, in 309, I love 309. So we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. So how about that?
Yeah, you have to admit that 309 was...
I love 309.
LSD trip.
It was filler, though.
It was filler, so what?
That was like half trip filler, though.
It was supposed to be filler. That's the difference. And this episode is not filler.
It has its own definition of filler. It's not such a filler.
Okay, so now we get into the famous Blind Bandit. And I gotta say, Mike wrote an amazing episode. This is one of the only episodes... See, there are two... This, I think, could have been nominated for the Emmy, and along with City of Walls and Secrets, because they really have their own storyline to it. The Blind Bandit, it could be a standalone episode, is what I'm trying to say. It's...
Yeah, that was a really good episode.
Well, with the previously on Avatar.
Okay, so, I didn't rewatch this one. I've read about it 10 times, four times, actually, What Earth Kingdom Chronicles books, so I should, like, have it memorized.
Oh, God.
Those are really bad, by the way, but get them for the 3D comic.
I like the, really, the setup of Sokka and his shopping, and him, he was really a woman in this episode.
And then the...
No, I like the
bending training school.
The
with
don't
Master
boo
Yu.
Him.
Great.
I like that one.
And then we
he's
get
like,
into the story
yeah.
in Katara. Girl has her ways, though. I love that line. And then
froze
over.
Oh, I like when he was walking out, he was like, water dry.
Yeah, water dry.
Yeah.
And then they go to the tournament, and it's the tournament. Very good. It's making fun of WWE. It's not making fun of WWE. It's just a little new thing.
It's a nod. As much as, you know, Chong was, it's a nod.
Yeah, and it was...
It's kind of like stereotypical wrestling type stuff.
I loved the tournament. It was...
Yeah, the boulder...
Oh, Fire Nation Man. That was...
Fire Nation
Man. Oh, yeah.
Why did he show up in
Fire Nation
Invasion? Where was he?
Well, they didn't have a lot of him.
He was like my favorite.
Why did they bring him back?
And then, of course, the famous podcast email asking why the Fire Nation guy was in the Earth Kingdom. Anyway.
Same thing with the Russian.
And then we go. Then we go to Toph's house, and this starts the storyline that it's the whole Aang and Toph character and relationship development within this episode entranced me so much.
Think of the
diehard Cat Aang I am. I was Tang for 1 week after the Blind Bandit aired.
I am
shocked. Oh my god,
only
Dylan.
AMV on.
Oh my god.
So wait, did you just completely abandon Aang?
No, I didn't.
I can't believe you, Dylan. This is sacrilege.
I simultaneously Aang and Tang for
He's not as great at Katang fan as you think.
From like May 5th to May 13th, 2006. So
he's got it marked on one of his four calendars.
Hey, I turned Tang.
So yeah, it's their whole thing, and then this is how it progresses, then Toph tries to ignore him, then Aang comes back, and Toph's line still, it always sticks in my head. Let's call it truths, okay? The way she says it and everything. Jessie Flower is amazing, by the way.
She was great.
Mang, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was Mang.
Yeah, Mang.
That's a little...
Floozy. Yeah.
It's great, because if anyone insults Katara, it's Jessie Flower. Floozy.
That's true. Mang.
I guess it just sounded so well in the fortune teller. That one line, it just sounded so perfect in the fortune teller, they brought her back.
See, here's the problem I have with Toph's character. the Toph we see in the Blind Bandit coming from home, and the way she interacts, it's different than the Toph we see the rest of the series. I mean, it pains me to say it because I love Toph, but it's just different.
How is it different?
It's different, or it's...
It's because it's not her episode. She has to be put in the background most of the time, because they've got so many characters to deal with.
Yeah, they have to put her in the background, but, like, there's an abrupt change from the Toph we see. She's not completely stubborn in 206, and then it's just...
Well, I think the thing is, she's getting more comfortable with...
I know, but it's, like, two episodes after, and we're stuck in the Toph we see for that series. See, that's the one... I did not like the way they've been developing Toph, really. It's... She's lost a lot of her development. I don't know. It's...
I liked early Toph. I liked Toph from Blind Bandit.
I love Toph in the chase.
Yeah.
Toph in the chase, not in the blind. But then when he gets to Bitter Work, and it's like...
Yes.
So...
Rock like... No.
So, yeah, it's... And what a... And then they have to convince the parents and stuff, and then they get captured, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very amazing episode. It's like its own universe here in Gaoling. That's struck me about the episode. So it's really
right, and the introduction of Master Yu and Jin Fu.
Even though it's why did we introduce these guys again? And then we kill them off in 219.
Right. They're still in that little tin can.
Yeah, how do we get these guys off?
It'd be interesting if they show up.
The last scene of the entire series is them
Is them still
sitting in
the
there.
Yeah. It's
really epilogue. That's great.
19 years later.
Yeah. 19 years later. And they're doing it again. Wow. That's genius. Great episode, Blind Bandit series classic.
Mike and Brian, if you're listening to this, just remember what we're telling you right now.
Yeah, do it. Okay, here's a poll. I have Don Lufeng. This wasn't a very good poll, but I made it like in 2 seconds. What did you think of Toph as an addition to the gang? 77% perfect choice. 19% expecting different, but still like Toph a lot, and then like 3% other. So, not a good poll, because I was trying to see how many people like Toph, because some people don't like Toph, and why don't you vote for that in the poll?
Toph, I had to adjust. Like, at first, when she joined the group, I was like, ew, you know, someone new can't join the group, it's Katara, Sokka, and Aang, but once I got used to her and got used to her character, you know, she was...
For me, I was very accepting of Toph. To the group.
Yeah.
Me, 206 is one of the episodes that actually, the only maybe episode that's gone from amazing to good on my scale. Like, most episodes work their way up, and I have a better view of them, but this one worked its way down, actually. I don't love it as much as I used to. But whatever. Okay, so now let's get into the actual point of this discussion, not to recap the episodes, but to talk about what their stuff is. So, yeah. By the way, I know a lot of people had some different opinions about the finale end of season one and what the main point was. We had some Lawson Gain posts on Dong Mufen, and we had some Aang progression, and we'll talk about that in a recap episode. February 22nd's podcast will be all about Love versus Power and trying to figure out the theme. Like, we're going to put this all together.
Yeah, I won't be there for that podcast.
February 22nd?
Yeah, half of us won't be there.
Why? February 22nd is the day if you're going to... Well, actually, no, because I just need my important people. Oh, snap, okay.
Thanks!
Okay, so what was presented within 201 to 206? So here's how I classified this in 2 seconds. Beginning of major Love versus Power. Beginning of the Avatar State was 201. That was like a whole Love versus Power episode. It presents the power aspect and shows how it can be affected by love and stuff like that with the Katara sinking and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, then character slash relationship 202 and 205. Even though 202 had its own separate plot lines and stuff, but this is mostly Aang's side again. Oh,
202 could be.
I completely forgot Avatar Day. Here was what I wanted to say. Why it's an amazing.
No,
episode.
We talked about Avatar.
No,
yeah,
Zuko and Iroh in Avatar Day. Avatar Day is the episode where Zuko splits from Iroh, and Iroh's speech in Avatar Day is completely amazing. And that's why. That's what puts it ahead in my mind. You gotta watch that again.
Because for a minute I thought you were like...
Iroh's speech. That's the reason why it's not just some crappy episode.
On something.
So yeah, I'm always on something, but
whatever. Well, you're
always on something. That's not the point. Okay, 202, 205, relationship. Major plot development, 203, 206. So what was it's hard to classify a theme for this, because this was the beginning of the most sporadic season in the history of any television series I've ever watched. It's so all over the place. So
way to characterize it.
I have no idea how to say the theme for these episodes, but
I think it's just kind of the beginning of the Avatar.
Think theme. Guys, seriously. Think theme, because I'm going to
get
yelled at.
Do you like qualifications for this?
I'm going to get yelled at at Dong Wufeng forums if we don't.
He's going to be an English teacher when he grows up, just like...
Motif, is it
not? Mr. Mumble.
Yeah, you know, right?
So there's obvious love versus power elements here within 201 and the whole Avatar State thing.
Yeah, of course.
202... Not much love versus power there. 203... Okay, I'm struggling.
Yeah,
it's 1A. I don't really.
Well,
yeah, you could have given us a more reasonable time to discuss this.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. Let me think for a minute. Okay, so obviously the swamp had the theme of connection and what was it? I don't remember. Yeah.
You want the Jeopardy music to come back again?
No, I don't.
Connection and unity and
unity. What was the last one?
Unity.
Separation.
Yeah. Right. And separation and unity, definitely. Actually, separation is a good one, because if you think Oma Shu, that Oma and Shu's love story were about two villages separated and coming together, and which we saw again in when they got to Oma Shu, was the fact that Oma Shu was this great city that was unified, and now it's separated again.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, separation, and I could argue separation.
You could also add separation in there for backstory in Avatar State, how Iroh and Zuko separated from the Fire Nation.
That's not like...
I don't know, I'm just trying to draw parallels.
Gosh, so
well, and then Zuko and Iroh separating from themselves.
There you go. There you go, separation.
Yeah, that's
big in the...
Toph separates from her family. Yay! Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, yeah, separation.
There. Wait, don't say more. Keep going.
And also, yeah, I'll connect separation to love versus power on the 22nd. We don't need to get into that now, but...
The 22nd.
Okay, so yeah, direction of the show after 206. We'll get... I'll save it.
Crazy?
No, I'll save it. Sporadic. Next week, look forward to this. I'm going to have my rant on how I don't like the way the show went after 209. I'm going to have that rant next week.
Oh, come on.
Wait for it. Okay, so Pat, no, I don't want to discuss that this week. Main theme, I've already discussed that. Okay.
Hidden Zutara.
Hidden Zutara, sure. Do you have it out?
Yeah, I have it out.
Okay, let's go, 201.
All right, 201. Hold on, let me look at it real quick. Okay, some of these might sound stupid, so. All right, Avatar State. Katara said that it was painful for the people. Wait, that it is painful for. Wow, I must have been trying to write this. I like have really poor grammar. Hold on. Okay, wait, I got it now. Katara said that it is painful for the people who love Aang to see him in the Avatar state. She did not specify herself. Therefore, she doesn't love Aang and loves Zuko instead.
Okay, that didn't make any sense.
Oh my god.
Cave of Two Lovers.
Shut up, let me keep going. It's one in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate this one for the Cave of Two Lovers. Alright. Katara blushed at the end of the episode. The legend stated that two people from rival factions fell in love. So she was blushing because of Zuko, who's part of a rival faction. Therefore, they will be together forever.
I like that.
Right, and the whole fact that Oma and Shu were red and blue. And,
yes.
Okay, next. Thank you. All right. Katara hated Azula, who is another Fire Nation person, because she's not Zuko. Therefore, she secretly loves him.
What? Okay, next.
Swamp. No, I love the one for the swamp. Those said that obvious things in the world are illusion. Katang is obvious, therefore, it's an illusion.
Therefore, Zutara is real. Oh
my god. Therefore, Zutara is real.
That's good.
Yes.
That's a good
one. Next.
Hold on. One of the Avatar statue things defiled during the ceremony was Avatar Ruku, who was from the Fire Nation. Katara was opposed to Avatar Day, which included insulting Avatar Ruku by extension the Fire Nation and by extension Zuko.
Oh,
therefore, She totally, without a doubt, loves him.
Oh, wow.
He was the grandfather of Zuko.
I love those
stories. Yeah, well, I didn't know it at the time I wrote that. So.
Yeah, but still.
That's great.
It's Iron.
The Blind Bandit. Katara did not boo the Fire Nation man, which is, of course, why she enjoyed the song because it reminded her of Zuko. Therefore, she misses him and loves him.
Never mind, he looked more like Zhao, but...
Katara and Zhao. No, that is Katara. Katara is still my favorite.
Wow.
Okay. So, yeah.
God.
I've had enough of this. Let's move on to the milk. Mailbag segment is where I'll answer questions you guys send in the podcast and answer questions you guys send on Avatar and address comments on the podcast. There we go. You can send questions as a podcast at dongbufang.net. So yeah, again, can't read every letter. Most of them I included this time though. And I'm also, anyone you guys saving on Love versus Power, Avatar State versus Katara, Love versus Hate, I'm saving them for the February 22nd. So keep sending those in. I've got some really good ones so far, and we're going to have a good
discussion.
God,
I'm missing the best podcast. Why do you have to do it on the 22nd?
Because you wouldn't be special enough to be there anyway. So seriously.
None of us are special enough, Abby.
By the way, we're recording the Love versus... It's like going to be a two-parter. We're recording on the 22nd. One of them's going to be coming out on the 23rd. One of them's going to be saving for next week. So, yeah. I'll go over that in the finale, in the ending. So let's start with Alisa.
Okay. Jem writes, I think that Ursa is part of the White Lotus and is actually the one that gave Iroh back the crown Roku had. And in that, maybe she's the one that recruited Iroh into the White Lotus. She's probably with them somewhere and might have been keeping an eye on Zuko during his banishment, or maybe maybe is in contact with Iroh. Well, whatever happens, for some reason, I think Ursa will actually be the one to find Zuko.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yes, I never thought about Ursa finding Zuko. I always thought it was Zuko finding Ursa.
Yeah, see, the only thing that makes perfect sense, but the only thing it contradicts is that the creator said Zuko would look for Ursa, so... That's the only thing I can think of, but
if she was in the White Lotus Society, I think it would be Iroh to be the one to introduce her into it, not the other way around.
Well, see, Ursa being in the White Lotus would solve a major thing of, because, you know, the whole thing we talked about before of Ursa needing maybe motivation for Zuko, and then, see, her being presented in the White Lotus would be a lot easier way to incorporate her. So that has some real potential there. And she's the one who recruited Iroh, also makes sense, I guess. But how would Ursa get into the first place is the question. See, the good support here is the crown thing. That leaves a...
Well, if we were to find out, which I don't think we will, more about the White Lotus and how the initiates get in...
We probably won't find
out. We probably could figure out which one,
but
if they were connected that way.
The evidence here is the royal crown, but, you know, I don't know. This whole thing, I don't want to get too deep. Sorry, Jim. We'll discuss once we have more information. Okay, Jake.
Jimmy writes, do you think that in either part one or part two of The Boiling Rock, are we going to know the faith of the prisoners? I guess that's faith. Also, do you think that Sokka, Zuko, Toph, Katara, and the others are going to have a major role in defeating the Fire Lords?
So yeah, the prisoners are proud Christians, and you know, okay. Two completely different questions here.
Except for like the one Jewish person in there.
Yeah, exactly. They're all Hindu.
Dang the Jew.
Akoda. Jews can still have faith. Akoda's the lone Jew there.
Their whole
it is here.
Gang being Jewish. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, because
do you think that we're gonna find out about the fate of the prisoners in part one or two? I mean, you have to. They're like. The only question, the other question is, what other storyline could there be? So, yes, I think, no, actually, no, I'm obviously undecided.
We don't know.
Yeah,
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Personal opinion is that, I think we may see the prisoners. I don't think that storyline's going to be resolved.
Personally, I don't want any of them to die, because I like all of them. Except for the random people, they can die. I don't care about them. Just the people whose names I know.
They better bring Tyro back.
Yeah, Huru can die.
Tyro's awesome.
He can just fly off Appa in the middle, mid-flight.
Huru's not a prisoner.
People can fly. Let me give you a...
No,
let me show you.
Katara's like, either I'm pushing...
See, what's going to happen is he's going to think he's like Superman or something.
Katara's prisoner. That's okay. Do you think that Sokka, Zuko, Toph, Katara, and the others can have a major role in defeating it? This is a whole topic we could spend an hour on, but... you see... Sokka and Tosserole aren't as interesting here. The ones that are interesting are Zuko and Katara. Because Zuko, obviously, his role in seeing his dad again is he...
The love triangle.
Is no, that's not why it's interesting.
It is. It's Zuko Tang, man.
Is Zuko going to sneak Aang into the Fire Nation? Stuff like that. Katara, and I'm just referring to Destiny's Call again by Leslie. It's Zuko, in the end, acts like he's captured Aang and brings him into the throne room.
Yeah, that was actually really well done.
Yeah.
I can actually see that happening.
I can see that happening, exactly. I'm going to talk
about
it. Was that written before or after Day of Black Sun, though?
Written, the whole seriously,
get her on this podcast.
After,
I have like, so many questions
Return
for her.
Amashu. The whole thing takes place after and is planned out. So, yeah.
I don't think Ozai would be too terribly accepting of Zuko after.
Yeah,
what
see,
done.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to accept him now.
You think?
And then Katara, obviously, is the other major one, because Aang going to want her fighting with them. And is she going to, like... So.
Well, I was actually surprised at how small her role was during the invasion.
I hated that, but
well, it's
not Aang's probably happy about that. So, because you know, Aang's obviously going to want her to be safe, or else he's like, if Katara, this is why Katara's not dying, because Aang would. Because
no one's going to be. He's going to go into the Avatar state if he can ever get back into
and
that.
He's gonna
and what's going to be able to get him out?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be just like Neo saving Trinity. Wow.
No, it's going to be like Destiny's Call.
Wow.
And then Katara's going to die, and then Aang's going to go into the Avatar state and become a past healer or waterbender, and he's going to revive Katara.
What?
It was really well done.
I remember that. That confused me for a second.
Yeah, that's spoiling like the whole fanfic for people.
I had to read that twice just to understand that.
That really does sound like Neo and Trinity, by the way.
So yeah, it's a very complicated question, Jimmy. We'll go over it again. Okay, Ruth, next.
Triple L writes, I've always been puzzled by the spirit world. We don't know much except the spirits live where, and Aang is the bridge between our world and their world. Apparently, Iroh has been to the spirit world before, and in the episode, Bitterwork, he said he would see his son again. Could that possibly be that he traveled into the spirit world and maybe sacrificed and maybe a sacrifice in saving Zuko or something? And do human spirits go to the spirit world? How will Iroh see his son again, etc.?
Okay, many questions. First, I'd like to say that LLL is Loch Ness Lake Worm, but I'm tired of saying his name, so I just said LLL.
Lake Worm.
LLW.
Just call him Loch Ness, then.
So much more sense.
No,
why didn't you just call
him
Loch Ness?
It's part of his identity. God, okay.
There's not three L's in there, though.
Okay.
For us.
Now, we don't know anything about the spirit world. This is the thing.
The most we actually learned was from those Escape from the Spirit World minutes that were not...
Okay, so there's several points I'm going to make here. First, Iroh has been to the spirit world before, and we need to see a conclusion to that, and I think we will with Iroh. See, this is why Iroh needs to eventually join the gang, because he needs to console Aang on his decision in 319. Anyway, in the episode Bitterwork, he said he would see his son again. Okay, here's one of the most generalized fanfic things that happens, is that when people die, they go to the spirit world. Logical, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's not been confirmed by the show. That's the thing I'm trying to say.
Just because what we've seen from the spirit world seems to be actual spirits.
Yeah, we haven't
going.
Seen any people, but we only saw like a very small chunk of the spirit world.
Yeah, I'm just basing it off what we've seen, which a very small chunk.
Them. But then again, the point he's trying to make here is that if humans don't go to the spirit world, how is Iroh going to see Lieutenant?
Unless when he went to the spirit world before, he went there and did something, arranged something so that a spirit pulled Lieutenant into the spirit world.
Mm-hmm. The afterlife for humans could be connected to the spirit world.
Or it could be like a section, because like you said, we'd only see a chunk of the spirit world. It could be there's a section of the spirit world for human spirits.
Yeah.
Like what we've seen is just
like
spirits.
Like an Inverurk fanfic. Then and then Inverurk, there's the whole gateway to the afterlife. And then the guards were pulling Katara there, and they had a save, and then Taken.
Wow, read too many fanfics. Too many fanfics.
I'm better like reference. By the way, I'm on a huge Cat Aang fanfiction streak, so that's why I'm referencing so much stuff.
Don't send him any.
Yeah,
if you know a good one, keep it to yourself.
Oh, no, tell me. Okay, so could that possibly travel after sacrifice and savings? There's a high possibility the spirit world, his spirit world journey was connected to seeing Lieutenant. And, you know, I don't know. It could be not be. this is a question that I think Iroh and the spirit world will both, like, they're gonna be hand-in-hand progression in the storylines. Like, Iroh's journey to the spirit world, we'll also learn more about the spirit world. I think that's what we'll see. Anyone here?
No.
Okay.
We'll see.
Want.
Want writes, who do you think is the fighter that cannot bend in Avatar? I would have to say Ty Lee.
Okay, I think he's trying to say who do you think is the best fighter.
Yeah.
Okay. Want's just Want.
Wow.
Want.
Awesome.
Yeah, Want. Want. Okay, so.
Want.
Ely. Wow, that's pretty good.
Best non-bender fighter.
Ty Lee.
Sokka.
Well, you gotta say Ty Lee. Ty Lee could take down Sokka. We've seen her do that before.
So. Well, of course she gets his head.
Well, we've seen Ty Lee take down May. 10 Earth Kingdom
souls. I would actually say May, of the three, anyway, of the kids. Because May, we haven't actually seen her go full out, I don't think, honestly.
Well, one thing I like about
May...
Who
the best non-fighter is? It's that guy from... 119, when Aang goes onto the Water Tribe ship, and there's this guy that has, like, a mace, and he swings it around, and he's defending the trebuchet.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
No, right.
That's the best non-bender fighter.
The thing that I think makes May better than Ty Lee is the fact that Ty Lee has to get close to whoever she's fighting, and therefore is, you know, more at risk, whereas May can be far away or close with her, you know, knives and
here's why Ty Lee
various throwing objects.
Because
so
when
she
May throws her stars at Ty Lee can dodge them because she's really flexible. And then she can obviously overpower when she gets close. So Ty Lee is the best number to fight. Oh, it's second to the Mace.
Oh, wait, you're pinning them against each other.
Yeah.
Oh, I was basing this off of what I...
Oh, whatever, who cares.
Yeah.
Okay.
Abby, are you still here?
Yes.
Okay, Reed Williams.
Don't laugh.
Go.
Will?
Tell him not to laugh. He laughs anyway.
Louder, by the way.
I wanted to know what you guys think about Iroh's upcoming role in things since he broke out of prison in the Day of Black Sun.
So this connects to the spirit world question.
I'm hoping for Boiling Rock. Major Iroh development here.
You see,
I don't think it will be Boiling Rock, but I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Okay, so personally... I'm starting to think that the role they're going to take, because they're so ominous about it in Day of Black Sun, that they might save it for
the finale.
The finale. It pains me, but...
See,
that's why they could save everything.
I don't think so.
And then the Iroh storyline could connect with the Zuko storyline, helping him make sure he fights on the gang side, connect with the Aang Katara decision in 319. It's that whole thing. It's Iroh,
yeah.
Such an effect in the finale, but what does he do until then? Because
they wouldn't take 7 episodes off, though.
I don't know. I think they would. We didn't really see Iroh too much in the
beginning
of the season.
Really, I would be very... I agree if, like, we didn't see him
yet.
Yeah,
I've still got my hopes for the Firebending Masters, but,
because that would mean we only saw him, like, 3 times in Season 3. Or, well, more than that, but still.
I don't know. We'll see Iroh eventually. That's the good answer.
Yeah.
And Amanda writes, my question is, do you think there's any possible chance Zutara could happen at all?
Do you not listen to the hidden Zutara
segment? They didn't Zutara say Zutara will happen, obviously. Okay, no, say
because it's an illusion. It's not an illusion.
Zutara is inevitable.
Okay, this is one of my most famous statements. Zutara will not happen in Season 3. Okay, and... Zutara's not gonna happen canon-wise. It's not.
We'll live on.
And I'm gonna have a little Zutara
fictions.
So Zutara is It'll never. It's there's no zero chance it will happen in Avatar the series. Now, this is why canon Zutarians piss me off. Is that they're all it's gonna happen eventually. It's
oh they're together now in the Western Air Temple. It's gonna happen.
Let go, please. It's. And
it's over.
Any
it's their
Zutara.
Opinion.
I want to any all Zutara shippers that. Listen to podcast writing, because I don't know how many. I mean, I've actually talked to some pretty smart Zutarians the last couple weeks. And so,
whoa.
Jake, you are a Zutarian, though. So yeah, guy, I don't know. I just
Wait,
want
you
guys'
Jake
opinions. What do I want your guys, Zutarians, right? And I want your opinions. Do you ship Zutara canon or fanon? And why do you listen to this podcast if I'm so catting and you're Zutara? Do you, like, ignore the shipping aspect? I don't know. That's
yeah, they skip through it.
They skip through it.
Can I say something? Mm-hmm. There was actually a really beautiful fan art piece on DeviantArt that comes through. It's fan art, but hey, that's what I do. So It was actually in the final battle, and basically Aang going off and being all brave, but the thing is in this, basically this artist's idea, and I doubt this would actually happen in the show, but Aang basically sacrifices himself in order to defeat the Fire Lord. And in that, Zuko comforts Katara. And that's about the only way that I could see Zutara happening canon-wise.
So yeah, I see, only as friends, if
see,
that.
Here's the problem with that, right. Is that Aang sacrificing himself, the only way he would do that is if he knew Katara, knew his feelings, and they'd have a confession before. Because if that has to happen before Aang goes to fight.
I mean,
see, that's the only problem, and then Katara wouldn't want to be with anyone but Aang. That's like...
Yeah, the picture, and I can link it to you, give you the link so you can put it up with
Now I'm interested.
That basically she's trying to chase after Aang, and Zuko's holding her back.
Actually, that might make me, like, cry a little bit.
It's a very emotional piece.
Oh, wow. Even that worst-case Cat Aang, best-case Katara scenario won't happen because then Katara will be like,
I actually, without Aang dying, I actually want that to happen without Aang dying.
No, but anyway,
the love triangle.
They're gonna have their first.
No, not the love triangle.
They're gonna have their second kiss in the throne room. That's the major fanfic thing. They kiss in the throne room after Aang's bloodstain and he defeated the Fire Lord.
Yeah, because that makes total sense.
It actually does. Because seriously, Aang's gonna be like totally devastated after he kills a human being. So yeah. Anyway.
Oh, but you're talking about Zuko and Katara. I'm like, what?
No. So yeah.
Do you think Ozai will really die?
Right in. Fan and shippers, anyone who's like a pure fan and I want to hear from you guys, because my community is the Kaden community in the canon. I don't hear much from the fanon, and I don't know, I just want to know about the stuff. I mean, I have a general, I know pretty much what goes on and stuff, but straight in it. I mean, the best Zutara example I have is Jake here, and Jake's like back and forth anyway on everything. No, not on everything, on shipping. He's
like, the independent.
He's
moderate.
He's moderate. Yeah.
Moderate.
Okay, so let's close things.
Yeah.
That's all for this week's podcast. Questions to us at podcast@dinewufang.net. Send us avatar questions in the mailbag segment. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Alisa, Jake, Ruth, Melanie, Abby, and Shay. Technical director, AJ Kevin. Music remixes, Loot Trip. I edit, Dinewufang by Jake. So here's the general future schedule. Like, last week I went through the whole schedule and then I edited it all out, which was hilarious. But anyway, we'll be double recording next week. The first podcast we'll be recording next Friday night will be Religion Part 2, and the middle of Season 2, so I think I need Martin on for that, so I'll try to get him out of whatever he's doing. And then and the next podcast will be Genetics Part 3, so I know Alisa has some opinions on that, so we'll duke it out there. So yeah, and then...
Yay.
And then the end of Season 2. So then we get into... And then February 15th, 317 title discussion. We'll be revealing it February 15th. And then we'll finish our episode thing. And then here's the thing. February 22nd, we're going to double record. And the first podcast can be an episode recap conclusion discussion / love power, except Avatar State of Car. So it's like the main theme. This is the conclusion to the main theme thing we've been doing the past 10 weeks-ish. And then the second thing will be Avatar State vs. Katara Showdown. Me, Rambo, Martin if I can get him on, Kevin if I can get him on, and then we'll see who has good theories from you guys.
I have to like send them in?
Yeah, you need to send them in, exactly. Okay,
seriously, I'll write 3 pages tonight.
See, here's the thing, 4 weeks in March, I've got nothing planned, so send stuff in, guys. Like, what do you want to be discussed in 30-minute segments on the podcast? And then April, May, we'll start to get into episodes, so yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
We should leave out with Secret Tunnel, you know.
Oh, I forgot to... No.
That's it. Leaving.
Wait, okay. Secret Tunnel. I had something else to do first.
Secret Tunnel.
Oh, okay.
What did I need to do in the... Oh.
Secret Friends.
Yeah. Let me look at the outline. Oh, Joe wants to do a segment, guys. So he wants to do a... He wants you to send him his favorite quotes. And he'll...
What?
He'll fun of
You know this is going to have to be censored, like, all of it, whatever he's going to say.
Oh my god, no.
I seriously don't think this is a good idea.
No, no, guys, just spam his email. It's DVDleader921. DVDleader921192@yahoo.com. Spam his inbox with quotes. And then maybe he'll make them funny. I don't know.
No, I doubt it.
I can tell you how this. Like, they're all gonna go. It's gonna be about drugs or
alcohol.
Or he's gonna do the whole Chinese fortune cookie where you add in bed to the end of every quote. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, that's man.
With no pants, that whole thing.
I'm so sick of the virus now that I'm reading the email.
Okay. Does anyone want to sing besides me and Elisa?
No, I don't.
I sang enough tonight.
I'm doing Love in Your Heart. I've called that.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Wait, I won't.
Do Secret Tunnel, Elisa.
I can't remember.
Well, you sing Secret Tunnel, we'll edit, and I can do Badger Moles.
Sure.
Okay, I can't remember. Okay. Secret Tunnel. Secret Tunnel. Through the mountains. Secret Tunnel. Can't see it, but I'm totally doing arm movements.
Oh my god.
Elisa, you're up again.
Good to know.
Okay, alright.
Is it kind of like what that guy looks like on the Chicken McNugget commercial, where he's like snapping it?
Well, the badger mole is actually a two-parter, so I could do Sokka if somebody else wants to.
Just do chunks.
But I always have to start with Sokka's to do this.
Fine. Just let her do Sokka's.
Do you want me to do Sokka and then you do Chong? Or do you want me to do...
You do Chong, I'll do Sokka.
No, I don't know Chong as well.
You don't know Chong as well?
Why doesn't she just do both?
Okay, let me do. Okay, you do Sokka, I'll do Chong.
Badger moles, coming towards me. Come on, guys, help me out.
And then, yeah, the whole... Hey, those things are music love. Big bad badger moles who work in the tunnels. Hate the wolf bats, but love the sounds.
Love the sounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Yay.
Let me think it off. Finished off. Even if totally, seriously. You're lost, you can't lose the love because it's in your heart.
Oh my god. Write in your hate email for how terrible that is.
No, seriously, let's seriously, we should so do Dong Wufeng.
A Dong Wufeng idol. I would, like, totally win with
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, no, not 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
4. Oh,
I'm tempting to sing it now, okay.
No, don't.
Okay, so let's, nope. Yeah, I think that's enough to close. I don't know.
Yep.
Let's do
sure.
Simultaneous 205 rocks. 1, 2, 3.
No! 205 rocks!